Welcome to a new edition of Sports Chat right here on Spectrum 22.9. I am producer par excellence, Mr. John Graham, joined by Matthew Kleinberger.
Back in the building after 2 weeks. Good to be back with you, gentlemen.
And Jacob Brettmiller.
Yep.
It's our two guys here on Sports Chat. So, I know when we started last week's episode, we kind of got off to a rocky start talking about Nuvaldi. And now, Jacob, your brother has experienced some unfortunate incident.
Yes. If you listeners are hearing this, we have reports of a black man driving a gray Mercury Melania who punched in my brother Daniel, Anton Brettmiller, the son of Mark Brettmiller, in the nose and three times and broke his glasses. But after he done it, he left the gas and he just walked back to his car and drove off. But they do have, we have witness evidence. It was caught on the gas station security cameras outside. The witness did came to him to help clean his wound with using paper towels, and then he went inside the gas station to call 911. But if anyone who knows where the suspect could be, because reports may say he might be hiding somewhere in New Haven, he might be. Because if anyone knows where the suspect is, or you know the suspect who did this, driving a gray Mercury Melania, you need to call the police or call 911 immediately if you know where he is.
What is going on with everyone, right now? It's like no one wants to agree on anything.
Yeah.
No one is accepting. And, unfortunately, I feel like this hatred and laziness has come to, has come to New Haven and the Fort Wayne area, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it doesn't belong anywhere, I leave it at this basically and say this, look, we have one world, we have one people, we can't mess that up. I mean, we can't mess up, the relationships that we have with others and over gas, and I get it, you hear all these things about what's going to happen with that, but focusing on what is, you wait 2 minutes. That's all it takes somebody to fill up a gas tank. That's it. And instead of asking somebody how their day is going, you resort to violence. That to me is just messed up. There's a different word for messed I'd like to use, but the FCC won't allow that. So, but it's ridiculous. And it's something I've thought about a lot this week, because there's a lot of things that go on for all of us, not quite to that level. And I think, why is this acceptable? Why is it acceptable for people to be negative and treat people like this? And unfortunately, it, for whatever reason, is, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I agree. So let's go ahead and shift, though, to sports, finally. I know there's a lot going on. We got the Golden Knights, versus the Boston Celtics. They're in the NBA playoffs, finals.
You mean the Golden State Warriors?
Yes, the Golden State Warriors versus the Boston Celtics in the NBA finals are going on. What game will we be in tonight?
Tomorrow Monday, it'll be five. The next five,
Because the series is now tied for both teams, 2-2 now.
So let's talk some Tin Caps. Tin Caps are kind of somewhat on fire. They are at home. They are wrapping up this Saturday and Sunday, and then they're away, I think, the following week, and then they'll be back home again.
Yeah.
When you said fire, hold up. I'm the one who can cue the Tin Caps.
I mean, their pitchers have been on fire, that's for sure. The bats still coming along. But look at it this way. These are young guys. They're 18, 19 years old, and they play like it. they go through streaks, but I'm telling you, like, we sit here in the studio, and I think people perceive, we don't care. No, we want to see them win. We want that for our town. We want that for the baseball community here. And we want to have playoffs, you know, here. And produce some of those games, talk, you know, to our commentators, Mike Maz, Ben Shulman, John Nolan. They feel it, too. And we all want them to win. So even if it's just 3 out of 4, and it may not mean anything in the long stretch of things, but as Jake and I were saying before the show, it's the second week of June. I mean, they could still – there's a long way to go. They could still do something here. And they're going to get Robert Hassel back reportedly soon from injury, and how long he stays in Fort Wayne is anybody's guess. But, I mean, this is a good team. They've got talent. They were off to a good start for a reason. But now let's just see if they can put it together going into this next road trip.
Quite so, because I heard, because we're also getting reports that I heard that next week on Monday, the temperatures are going to go way up to 80 to 90 degrees. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to see those Tin Cats to wherever they're going, make sure you bring a sun hat, sunglasses, and lots and tons of sunblock with you.
Personal fan, get an air conditioner, full blast on the highway. Like, my buddy is a meteorologist, and he's out in Arizona this week. And so he sent us a picture the other day of what the temperature is. He's been in Phoenix and went to the Grand Canyon area. It was like 105 there. And wow. He said, I haven't really been following the weather back home because he's been on vacation, but he's a meteorologist. He'll be back tomorrow. And he says, just get ready for something, maybe not quite like that, but pretty close in Fort Wayne this upcoming week. Jake, I don't even want to look at the forecast. I'm very scared about what I'm going to see. If I see numbers that start with a 9 and end with a number above 5 for the temperature, I'm going to cry, and then I'm going to stay inside all week.
But with other teams that are still competing, not only are Tin Cats are playing, John, but we also got reports that other teams are also playing tonight. Like, we got, well, obviously, the Lansing Lugnuts. We have a hot ticket between two teams from Michigan are going to battle against each other.
Yeah, from that state capital. And, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, Lansing and West Michigan. West Michigan was here in Fort Wayne just a couple weeks ago, and unfortunately they got the better of the Tin Caps in a series. But, I mean, Lansing, though, last I knew, they were the only team in the Tin Caps division that was below them. So you would think West Michigan would win that series overall. But, again, it's baseball, and it's guys who are just starting out their career. So they're going to have ups and downs all summer. It's just natural, and you can't predict it.
Quite so, because for my money, I would think maybe the Sea Rapids Colonels could win the MILB playoffs, because recently in the beginning of their season, they were undefeated in their regular season. They were in the beginning.
Yeah, and they had a good season last year as well. And yeah, I mean, they're this year in the minor leagues is loaded. And, you know, again, and being in studio for some of those games, you hear, you know, our 1380 commentators talk about it quite a bit. Especially, you know, the East Division is all, I mean, they are super tight in that division. At least as about a week ago, there was only, I think, one game separating the top three teams. That's important because this is that same playoff system where if you win the first half, aside from playoff seeding, you can pretty much just take a load off the second half of the season because you've already clinched a playoff spot. So this is important the next month or so. And while the Tin Caps are basically out of the running to get that spot, they can at least take momentum into the second half and make a real push to still get to the postseason.
Well, Magic kind of mentioned it, guys, about for the Tin Cats' next away game, looks like they'll be heading back up to Michigan again. They're going to head up to Jackson Field to square up against the Lansing Lugnuts.
Got to get at least 4 from that series. Got to get at least 3 or 4. It's a struggling team. They're there for the taking. Tin Caps have to at least split that series if they want to be contenders.
I agree. You know, it's been a while since they've been in the playoffs, and I would love to see them go again. You know, Parkview Field is a beautiful field here in here in downtown Fort Wayne. If you have not ever been to Parkview Field, you definitely need to go. I think sometime, hopefully, we can do a giveaway on this show for Tin Caps tickets. Obviously, we'll have to do that once we make a name for ourselves, but you know, I mean, that's something I definitely want to do, because I want to reward our audience for listening. And yeah. Yes, you should definitely, you know, if you have never been, you know, to Parkview Field, again, you definitely need to go sometime.
Quite so than that, because not only that, we also got two softball state championship games that are happening today. Yesterday, we already got two that just played yesterday, the 1A and 3A. The 1A battle was between, John, well, the Tecumseh Braves and versus a new team who has never made it to the state title before for the first time in their history, from all the way from Union Mills, Indiana, the South Central Satellite.
Yeah, they're coming from the region, which, you know, anybody that's been to any college in the Midwest here, is about 30% of the people say they're from the region, so that's a different story. But, you know, a little bit of Union Mills there. It's good to see, like, a different team make it. You know, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There, yes, are teams that just reload every year in a certain sport, but it's good when somebody else makes it. It's good for the sport, and it's good for people to believe that you can build a program. So congratulations to them, and we'll see who comes out on top today.
Well, we already did, because they just played yesterday, and the winner of the 1A state championship goes to Tecumseh Braves.
Big ups to them. Congratulations. And
I know your listeners are wanting to know which team from the 1A finished in third place. Well, it's a tie between the Hollister Jets and the Rossville Hornets. But for my decision on my sport, on my Jinx Picks show, I decided the teams with the most wins and from their neutral would be the team that I decided to finish third.
Basically. Yeah.
And the team that I chose to finish third is the Hollister Jets.
So sticking with them. Sticking with them, yeah. I mean, it's tough to pick these state championship games, right? Like, I mean, everybody's good. You can't just think like, oh, somebody's – no, everybody's good. Everybody's playing their best right now. And a lot of talented players that maybe we'll see on the college diamond next spring, hopefully.
And quite so. But, yes, the other one was the 3A state championship, and the battle was between, well, between the Tri-West Hendrick Bruins and the South Bend St. Joseph Indians. But here's the thing. South Bend St. Joseph did make it to the state championship 4 years ago, and now they're back after waiting for almost four long years they waited for.
Yeah, I know you and I were talking earlier. I mentioned that my uncle, it was a police officer down in Brownsburg. I misspoke and said that it was Brownsburg that they had to do, I think, a parade for last week. It would have been Tri-West Hendricks, because that's the team of my cousin who's going to Marion University for football next year is playing for. Little shout out to him. Hopefully he gets some good playing time next year. But it was big down there when they won that, you know, last week. And I think for suburban indie team, especially if, you know, if you're Upper West Side, you know, where I was, like, you kind of root for them. At least you stick with the teams that are around you. And yeah, I think it's really cool also when small town teams win, because, like, when I was at Snyder, I was in band, and if we were going to a big competition, the community would turn out as we were leaving. The firehouse right across the street would do something. That was always super cool. But you hear some of the things that they do in small towns when they come back. I mean, it's just Fort Wayne and Indianapolis don't compare to that, and that's really, really cool, really unique. And so, congratulations to, you know, to Tri-West and to all the teams that are participating.
To my calculations for the 3A, I decided the team in the 3A that finished in third place is Leo Lions. And our fourth place finisher is the Croydon Central Panthers. Because I thought Leo was going to have a second chance to win two state titles. Those of this season after they lost to Central Grove Trojans since they won their first one in the year 2013.
Yeah. Well, good to see at least a local representative get that far, at least, in Leo.
I also kind of want to tie in local with a tragic loss that the Carroll high school football team suffered earlier this week. Owen Sheely, he was 17, and I know for the family it was very sudden. You know, they did not see this coming at all. From my understanding, Owen had found out to be had leukemia before his passing, and then he went to surgery, you know, where the doctors thought, and this was, he went to surgery in Riley, I want to say, Riley Hospital, where they wanted to perform surgery on his brain, where they found the tumors, and and so they performed the surgery. But although the surgery was valid, it didn't work, and there was too much inner bleeding. So unfortunately, to Owen and his family, we do pass our condolences to the family. If you want to pay your respects to Owen, and you listen to this in a sensitive, timely manner, his funeral and visitation will be Sunday and Monday, from my understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is a Casting Crowns song that may be a little sad song that we did play this for my grandma's funeral. It's Casting Crowns, Scars in Heaven, it's called.
It's been a rough few weeks, hasn't it, for a lot of people. And I remember it took me very suddenly, hearing about it. I think it was a couple of accounts that I follow on Twitter that retweeted or liked something that Carol posted that just told me to keep fighting. And I've seen all the tributes this week. And one thing that has really stood out to me that describes this young man's character, I mean, you guys remember, we're all involved in high school. And, I remember as a freshman when, like I said, I was in band. I remember as a freshman when a senior would make time not just to tell me how to do something, but to take an interest in me. That meant everything. And that's the most common thing I've heard about Owen from his teammates and coaches at Carroll, the people he worked out with. He really took time to, to help younger kids and, to help mentor them and to cheer them on. He was a, constant for them. And that should be a testament to his parents that, that he didn't say, that's not me anymore, I'm going to worry about myself. The fact that he was so concerned with others around him, that's a sign that they did a good job with him. And I can't imagine what they're going through right now. And sadly, a lot of people have had to experience a lot of hurt recently. And, it's just really, really hurts knowing that they're going through that and that a really, really good, young man in this community that even if it wasn't the NFL, he would have gone on and done something really, really good in life. And now it's up to those around him to carry up that name. And I hope that all of us, can do that. I really do.
Yeah, yeah. I really think that this season, when the surrounding teams play Carroll, it'll be unlike anything we've ever seen.
I believe
that there will be, I believe that this could shift the world into a better place if everything goes like dominoes, Fort Wayne and the surrounding area could show the world that there's a way to show compassion and...
You mean compassion and mercy?
Compassion and mercy and sympathy, and support each other.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I think it was a really cool tribute. I really wished everybody around town, including, Tin Caps and the Comet / Mad Ants would have done this as well. The Carroll left their lights on at the new stadium a couple nights ago overnight to honor him. And I think maybe some other schools might have, but I really wish everybody in Fort Wayne would have done that as well. And maybe they can this week, do something like that. And I think that'd be a really, really, really touching tribute. And I think it'd be a good way to show the family that, hey, we're here to listen to you. I mean, this is a good community. And I've lived my entire life here in Fort Wayne, and this is a good community full of good people. And I know it oftentimes doesn't sound like it, but it's a tight-knit community, and people are here for one another, and we really need to do that right now.
I definitely think I agree with you, Matt. That's a very valid point. I definitely think that maybe for his anniversary, maybe something that Carroll and Comets, the Coliseum, Tin Caps, Parkview Field could all do to show their support, for this new member of the Carroll Chargers playing as an Angel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to be more respectful to all of us, it should be best that to all of you listeners who might know about this, but I would say to that dude from Carroll, he might have been a good player for Carroll's football team, a good son to his parents, and we all know that. May we say that he is a good friend. He is
good player, better person.
Yeah,
I agree. So, yeah. So Owen, yeah. We all know that he's in a better place.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's a Angel playing for Carroll this year.
Yeah.
Gonna be playing for Carroll this season.
Yeah.
But right now, with all the other games we also got, John, is that right now the results from yesterday's 3A softball championship are in, and the winner of the 3A softball state title is the South Bend St. Joseph Indians. That they have won. They finally won their first state title, and it only took them 4 long years to win it for the first time in their history.
Well, congratulations to another team from the region up there, what is practically suburban Chicago, or really from in the shadows there of Notre Dame Stadium, their South Bend St. Joe's. It's a great sports town. It's great to see them have a championship, you know. Maybe now there are other high schools, but we want some more Fort Wayne schools to win them all next year. We'll just take it for this year because we know who's all in. But we want more of those Fort Wayne schools in next year, right? Like,
oh yeah,
a little bit of bias, but we do.
Yeah, for sure. Come on, you know, yeah. Let's see some more Fort Wayne schools. Like in that category. I cannot wait for high school football, Matt.
Oh,
yeah, like, yeah, you and I are going to do a fantastic job, on the halftime show. Yeah. Shout out to 13 WKGG, the fan, you can hopefully listen to Matthew and I on during halftime. Did Rags, tell you what he foresees for the fall season?
Yeah, he did a little bit, and I didn't even think about this. He mentioned, for those that don't remember, it was funny because he and I joked about it. I think literally my first day in the building was for our high school football preview meeting. We talked about who's sponsoring, all that. I didn't think about this. He mentioned that's not even 2 months away.
Yeah.
He told me what week one was, or it might have been the scrimmage week. It's middle of August. I mean, that's a little over 2 months,
yeah.
Which is still a long time, but I'm telling you, it's going to be here before you know it, and it won't. Well, no, I take that back. I will actually be sad when it flies by because that means that summer is practically over. But I love fall. But then once football season starts, it seems like every year that goes faster and faster. And then once that's over, it's winter. And then it's the sad part. Except this year, the World Cup's in the winter. So that'll kill off the first month of it. But yeah, after Christmas, it's going to be the sad part of it. But still.
Yeah.
Quite so.
Unfortunately.
But with the other two state champions that are about to play for the IHSA Softball State Championship Part 2, the first teams that are going to go up is the 2A. And the battle we got here is, from Butler, Indiana. Watch out for the Eastside Blazers!
Nobody needs to watch out for them more than we're in South Fort Wayne. People here should know all about Eastside because that's the team that knocked Bishop Bluers out of the playoffs. I mean, you know, obviously a different sport, but they should know all about Eastside around here.
And I mean, Eastside came so close. They were undefeated after they lost to the Angel Fighting 59ers, and they were supposed to take on the Abbotsville Modern Day Wildcats in the state finals.
Yeah, Andrian was just on a different level this year, but Eastside was so good. I was heartbroken for them. I mean, they're on the fringes of our listening area, but we had a I know one football game, I think one basketball game out there this year. Oh my gosh, I so wanted to see them in state. Nothing against Andrean, but I really wanted to see Laban Davis play at Lucas Oil. I was so upset for them that they didn't go, but they had a fantastic year, a fantastic year for softball, and that must just be a program. That must just be a school down there for athletes. I mean, hey, if I have a little bit of eligibility left, nope, shouldn't go down that way because I usually go right by Snyder on my way back home from the studio. So I don't want the folks over on Reed Road to get upset with me, but I want to stay in good graces over there. So, but I'm just saying, if I was on the soccer field the other day, I have about 5 good minutes left of my legs on the field. If anybody wants me there, so, U.S. men's national team, if you need a sub late in the World Cup in Qatar, just put me in. I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll let you guys know, too, that Matthew's very active on social media. So, he shares all these, stories on his socials. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. You know, I thought about this morning before I came in. I think it's been, aside from posting a picture, I think two pictures for graduation last year, I haven't posted on Instagram, an actual post, in like 4 years. But I post a story like at least like three times a week. And half the time it's just nothing, you know. It's just like sports stuff. And then like other times it'll be like, oh, I traveled. Now here I am standing in this like wide open field. Here it is. It's Indiana. And I'm just going to confirm the stereotype. Like that's literally my time. But the best part about stories is that unless people reply to your story, they can't comment and say, why did you share this? It's only on their screen for 2 seconds. Like, that's the best part of it.
Yeah, the best part of it.
And as for Eastside Blazers, they're about to take on the Challengers for an ultimate game all the way from Poseyville, Indiana, the North Posey Vikings. Because even though Eastside had made it to the state championship before, and they won it about almost 25 years ago, they did.
It's been a long time. So the difficult thing, I know you and I were talking about this earlier, is that even in the age of social media and expanded media, like, you'll go to state and you will not know much about your opponent. Like, I remember John and I talked about this at one point. I think it was during football when we were in halftime. The last couple of weeks, we didn't have a halftime show for us. But one of the last shows we did, it was like, man, I don't know who this team is, so I can't give people context on them. And that's difficult. That's what they have to deal with. So, Eastside may never have heard of North Posey and vice versa. I'm sure they've watched film on them, of course. But that's difficult to prepare for somebody that you don't really have any familiarity with.
It can definitely be like a struggle. I can definitely concur with what Matt was talking about. Some of these teams that when we were doing like the halftime report, I'm saying we couldn't give them much context, to go with. I forget which game it was, but I remember we went a little bit long with our halftime show. And bro, it was like, get us back on air.
That was an interesting little exchange during the following commercial, but the public doesn't need to hear any more about what was said during that. But
I want to say that I was reading some of the text back comments, and there are quite a few people that enjoyed our banter back and forth. So
yeah, well, because let's face it, even in social media, it takes a while for them to get scores. And the fact that we had some, we wanted to share as many as we could. And, we pushed right up to the time frame usually. Obviously, it got different later in the year as teams got eliminated. But we enjoyed it. We had fun. And that's the big thing. And I think people felt insight. And that's really what sports media is about. Because you can't be at every game. We can't either. But we can always try to inform and educate and enlighten, as they say.
Yes.
Because even though with these teams still competing, they had to get their games done, but first they got to work on juggling with school and other et cetera, and that sort of stuff.
Well, and that's the good part about now. I know there are a lot of college coaches, especially for basketball, who say that their favorite time of year is when they play over Christmas break. And why? Because they don't got class. Or they don't have class, rather. They don't have classes. They don't have homework or group meetings to go to. There aren't parties, really, a whole lot of them going on. So the players can pretty much just focus on hanging out with their teammates because their roommates that aren't athletes have probably gone home. And they can, focus on practice and meetings, even though players may not love that. But you get to just go and just play a game. I think it's the same thing here, Jake. Like, they can just focus solely on what they're doing for their sport, and they don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah. Even though with the we also got later tonight, we also got the 4A state championship competition between, well, from West Lafayette, Indiana, the Harrison Raiders, who became state runners up since 2009 or 8 or 7 or whatever. And they're about to take on a new team from from Indianapolis, Indiana, the undefeated Rock Holly Royals, who just won the state last season. Now they're going to have a shot for 5 state championships and for 2 state titles in a row they're going to win.
I mean, they could do it. They definitely could. Anybody here, you get this far, it's all great teams left, and you just know you have to play your best. And whatever you have left, it's time to empty the tank because you got one more game to get across that finish line, grab that trophy. So 32 wins in a row.
If they get this win, they'll have 33 wins in a row from their regular season to the state championship.
I don't bet against teams that lose 32 in a row. I'm taking Rock Holly. I don't bet against teams that don't lose. Like, I mean, you can't, right? Like, although I don't bet anyway, but.
But for my money, for the 2A state championship, I think Eastside should have a shot because they've been waiting to get their second state title for almost 25 years they waited for.
Yeah, you'd love to see somebody break a drought. It's similar, like I said, people get their first time in a long time or first time ever. I like a storyline, but there's also something to be said about just pure dominance, you know, to maintain a standard. So that should be really interesting. Something has to give there.
And not only that, but for my money for this 4A state championship, I'm putting all my money down thinking that I think Rock Holly Royals should take their second state title in a row and win 5 and have a grand total of 5 state championships.
Like I said, I like the strategy. If they don't lose, I'm not picking against them, and that's exactly what I think we got to go with. 32 wins in a row speaks for itself.
Because to my mind, because I think Rock Holly could have a, because to my prediction on my percentage here for Rock Holly taking on to win the state, they'll probably have a 95.2%. But for Harrison, their chances of winning against, well, to those Rock Holly Royals would be 5.8%.
I like those odds. I mean, if I'm in that 95 category, but hey, if you're an underdog, that means that you have nothing to lose. And so go out there and play and shock the world, as they say. You know, I mean, nobody ever thought Appalachian State could beat Michigan. And lo and behold, they did defeat Tom Brady's alma mater. Of course, not while he was there. But if he was there, he wasn't great in college. But it's a different story now.
Yeah, quite so.
He was a late bloomer. Now he's just a boomer. But he's still good at football somehow.
Yeah, even though they still have one of their other best players on, and even though Tom Brady still has one of his best fans on his team, that is Ron Gronkowski, and he was a.k.a. the White Tiger from Season 3 on The Masked Singer.
They seriously just signed Akeem Hicks, the longtime Bear, who I was so hopeful we could just resign just to run it back one time and let him retire as a Bear. And then he goes and says that he had Drew Brees and some other Hall of Famer in his career when he first got, or Tom Brady, because he played in New England, and then says he did not have Drew Brees or Tom Brady. And I felt so heartbroken for Mitchell Trubisky that he said that, but, oh, man, the plight of being a Bears fan right now is very, very real, as the McCaskies have once again taken over. But I don't want to talk about those people because they irritate me to a high degree.
All right, let's shift to the NBA Finals. Woo! The Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. So, as Matthew and Jacob said, the series is tied 2-2. The Golden State Warriors helped tie that last night. They won 107-97. Woof. Woof. I just can't fathom that. Yeah. So game 5 will be Monday night, June 13th at 9 p.m. And then game 6, which they will most likely need, will be Thursday, June 16th. And game 7, if needed, will be Sunday, June 19th.
Which I would call game number 7 as sudden death it would be for those two teams.
I still can't help but feel as though it doesn't get to 7. I know everybody wants to, as a neutral, I'm supposed to want it to go 7 games. But if Golden State wins this next game, I think it's over. I think they go back to Boston. They figured it out now. And even though Draymond Green is playing like he plays for the Celtics at times, even though he plays for the Warriors, Steph Curry is a bad, bad man. You got to start guarding him when he touches down at the airport. Like, he's that. I'm kidding. I'm not even kidding. The guy was injured. In three quarters, he had over 30 points. I just can't believe that. I mean, it was crazy watching it because I was also watching a little bit of USA men's soccer somehow struggled to score against Grenada of all teams, but that's a different story. It was making me a bit sick watching that. But Steph Curry, we've just never seen anybody like him. And the fact is that there was one shot. Or I even go back to game three. They lost, but something almost turned the game around was they had a 7-point possession. Think about it. Steph shoots a three that you would just, if you're a coach, cover your eyes. Why is he shooting that? But he's Steph freaking Curry. He pulls the ball from at the logo, gets fouled, makes the shot. They rule it a flagrant foul. He makes the free throw. They come back. They make another three. He's that good. He changes the game. And now that Klay Thompson is healthy and hitting shots, Jordan Poole is really good as well. If Draymond steps up and plays a little bit better, it's over. Boston can't compete with that. But they have heart. The Celtics have heart. But it's either going to go 6 or 7, and Warriors are going to finish it.
And not only that, we also got tonight, there's another game that's happening later tonight. We got the battle for the Stanley Cup playoffs happening because one team already made it to the next round. That was, obviously, the Colorado Avalanche, who finally made it to the Stanley Cup Finals after waiting for over 20 years. It's been for them.
And calling it now, Lightning joined them tonight. They're up 3-2. It's going back to Tampa. That series is over.
Because if Tampa Bay wins, they could have a shot of winning 3 Stanley Cups in a row.
When we were in Fort Wayne, know a thing or two about winning 3 cups in a row. Flashback to when the Comets in the late 2000s, early 2010s did just that. That would be remarkable if they could, and I think they will, to be completely honest.
Might so. Well,
yeah, that should be an interesting series.
But with all of that, we also still got the ECHL playoffs. And it looks like I just got something here. Florida Everblades just got their third win, and they're also going to be playing later tonight at 7 for one more per match. If the Florida Everblades win this title, they'll finally win their first state champ, I mean, their second Kelly Cup trophy, and it only took them, 10 years to get it.
Yeah, that'd be big for them. And, you know, it'd be cool to see. I mean, you mentioned Tampa. Let's face it, Florida is not what you would consider a hockey hotbed, mostly because it's just flat out hot there. And it's struggled to gain some traction, you know, in warm areas because the fact kids can't really play hockey down there as much. So if you would have two Florida teams be champions in high level leagues, I think that'd be really, really cool. Of course, I can say that now with our Comets having been eliminated, but at least, you know, Wheeling is apparently not in it. But that'd be good to see two teams from non-traditional hockey markets, albeit with players from hockey markets, and maybe that helps grow the game a little bit down there.
Yeah, you know, and to see the Comets lose, it's hard to believe that they last played on election night.
Yeah, that is. I remember the agony of hearing our buddy Shane Alberani say that Wheeling had scored, and then I was listening to the postgame show that comes back very, very suddenly. I was like, wow, what happened there? And then hear, oh, wait, they might overturn it. And then hear, no, they didn't. And then back into commercial. That was a sad night for those of us in the 260. That was very sad.
260, yeah.
Yeah. Because the right now for tonight, for Florida Everblades, it's all up to Florida. They had to beat Toledo one more time, and they will be our new Kelly Cup champions. If they do not, because they're at Florida right now, one last time. But if Toledo wins, they're going back to Huntington Center in Toledo, Ohio, for both Game 6 and Sudden Death.
Well, that would be interesting right there, you know. And the Comet fans will know that Toledo is a tough place to win.
Yeah, even though that next season there'll be a new team that is coming to be in here, and that team is the Savannah Ghost Pirates from Savannah, Georgia.
And they stole the Comets NHL affiliate, so that could already be a little bit of a rivalry there. We'll see how the Frankies and company take to them and the good folks at the Coliseum. We'll see if there's a little bit of Comet Ghost Pirate bad blood going on.
Bad blood.
Yeah, I mean, they only encompass half the country, so, I mean, it could get pretty tense over here in the eastern part of the United States between those two. But that would be interesting. I think maybe they could build a little bit of a rivalry off of that, but we'll see. It just depends on how often they wind up playing here.
Even so, we also got the college divisional baseball playoffs that is happening this season. As we got, well, Notre Dame just won their first super regional matchup right now against Tennessee. And if they get there, and they're playing right now, hoping to get to advance to the semifinals later on. But the other teams who also got their first win are Arkansas Razorbacks, East Carolina Pirates, Texas A&M Aggies, and the Oklahoma Sooners.
Boomer Sooner is the word right now, or the two words, as they won the Women's College World Series as well. And it sounds like they're rolling along in the other diamond that has a little bit of grass positioned in the middle of it.
But for that, because with Tennessee, because if Notre Dame and the other 8 teams win in the Super Regionals with just 2 wins they need, only 8 teams will advance to the semifinals for yet another double elimination.
Yes, indeed. That's the beauty of the College World Series. You lose one game, you're not out. But that is certainly going to be, once you get a double elimination bracket, all the pressure is on. But it's a little bit of a different format than that of the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments or the college football playoff, where lose once, you're heading home. And I think that makes it a little bit more exciting. But it's different. It's different with double elimination. It certainly provides for excitement in its own right.
Even so, but excuse me. Because we also got some NL, we also got some baseball games. Not only the Tin Cats, but Major League Baseball team is also playing today. And later on Fox at 7:15, listeners, you're in for a very special treat. We got 2 games that may be playing on Fox, as well, the San Francisco. We have a battle between 2 teams from all the way from California, the San Francisco Giants versus last season's World Series champions, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who won last season. And there's also the Chicago Cubs having an away game as they're over in New York City taking on the New York Yankees, where Babe Ruth used to play for those teams years ago.
The 2 of the most storied franchises. I know things aren't going particularly well for the Cubs this year, but anytime you say Cubs, Yankees, those 2 franchises, yes, a lot of people say the Cubs only won 1 World Series, or at least in the last 108 years anyway, 1 World Series. The Yankees have won, well, a lot more than that. A Yankee Stadium, a Wrigley Field even, those 2 teams squaring off, that is always going to be appointment viewing, even though I think even as a Cubs fan, you have to say realistically, the Yankees will take at least 2 games from that. But the Cubs, I think, could be on their way back. But that's always going to be fun to watch. Cubs, Yankees.
Yeah. Even though about the reports I got here, but it's happening now for the battle of the College World Series Baseball Super Regionals. Game number 2. Tennessee is already up 1-0 against Notre Dame in the middle of the 4th inning. And now Notre Dame is going to be up to bat next at the bottom of the 4th inning now.
Well, Peyton Manning must be happy then. As an alma mater there, Tennessee seems to be off to a good start over a Notre Dame team that he played in the same state as for such a long time.
Yeah, even so. But we also know that we still got college football season that'll be happening soon, as well as high school football that we did talk about later recently. Because right now, we believe, because I still believe Wooden's probably going to be playing against the same teams they played against in their regular season last season, like their rival, obviously, the Leo Lions. It's all the way until they reach their final conference game against the Adams Central Flying Jets, who recently made it to the state championship last season. They were runners-up against the undefeated Indianapolis Lutheran Saints.
Take flight, you flying jets. John, you knew I had to say that. You knew.
Oh, yes.
After saying that like half a dozen times this past year, I literally sat in my chair so excited to say something about the flying jets. But I was also guessing, Jake, you mentioned college football. We are all putting money on Ball State to win the national championship this year, right? Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. I got at least $20 on it.
Never mind the fact that they're a starting quarterback, wide receiver, and like three offensive linemen, and their starting linebackers have all graduated. But I mean, we're feeling. I mean, they could definitely beat Alabama head to head. Maybe, I don't know.
I don't think so because nobody. I don't think Ball State or Purdue, like me that I support, can stand up against Alabama because Alabama is the top fraternity college football team on campus. They are. No one could stand against them. Only teams from their conference could stand up against them, like Texas A&M, Tennessee, or the biggest, toughest team, the Georgia Bulldogs.
It's funny you mentioned Texas A&M, because if you guys have been following the little back and forth between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban the last few weeks, I'm suddenly really looking forward to when those two teams play, because that could be really interesting. For those back home that, you know, those listening at home that don't know what, you know, I'm referencing, Nick Saban pretty much flat out accused Jimbo Fisher of leveraging the name, image, and likeness rules, which still do not allow for schools to pay their players. He basically made the accusation that Texas A&M established the top rated recruiting class in the country this year illegally by paying players. Jimbo Fisher did not take kindly to that. Those two had a little back and forth, a little spat, and especially considering Jimbo Fisher is a former Nick Saban assistant. And by the way, the only former Nick Saban assistant to actually beat Nick Saban himself. That is going to be fun. I'm going to have to just see. I've checked what day that is. I'm going to just have to clear my schedule that Saturday when those two teams meet. I think it's going to be in Tuscaloosa, but Texas A&M did beat them last year. But the thing is, though, you mentioned Alabama and that reputation. They're playing angry this year because they know they let one slip in that national championship, and they're bringing most of their team back. They reload. Don't poke the bear. Texas A&M, don't poke the bear.
Yeah, even so, Alabama kind of lost to Texas A&M for the first time. You know, they used to be undefeated, but now those Georgia Bulldogs, Texas A&M, but they're listening to us. You better not do this again, or Alabama will be forced to bring fire on you, Texas and Georgia.
Yeah, well, Georgia, it's going to be interesting because they rode the back at defense. They're not a program anymore. It takes a couple of years. They reload now. They're that good. But they had that legendary defense, and they all went pro. How quickly can they get people up to speed now that we're either not in the program last year or we're watching the sidelines to try to replace that? That's why I don't think national championship expectations are fair on Kirby Smart's team, but they'll be back, I think, in Atlanta for that SEC championship game at least.
Right, so, and you did mention Ball State's football team because I heard their first game is going to be against, it's going to be a hot competition. They're going to take on an SEC team, Peyton Manning's team, the Tennessee Volunteers, while my team, Purdue Boilermakers, have their first Big Ten conference game against Penn State Nittany Lions.
If you guys want to make some serious money so you can fill up your gas tank, don't buy a lottery ticket. Put money on Ball State Week 1 in Knoxville. They're only, I think, 31-point underdogs. That's it. Literally just 31 points. They're only projected to lose by 4 touchdowns. So I'm telling you, you put the minimum wager, bet responsibly, because I don't even bet, but bet responsibly, put the minimum wager on the Cardinals, and you never know, right? Like, you could have gas for about a whole 4 days at this rate with the amount of money that you'll win. It could happen.
It could happen. It could happen.
As for Alabama, they have a home game against the Utah State Aggies, and I think I got something here, Matthew. We got a huge hot ticket that's coming soon until September the 3rd, ladies and gentlemen, Saturday matchup. The hottest ticket we have going on that's going to be here on Saturday is a battle between, well, Notre Dame Fighting Irish versus a Big Ten team from all the way from Ohio, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Ooh. Ohio State's another team that's playing angry right now. They're not used to being out. As a matter of fact, I don't recall, or not since Penn State did in like 2016, they've been in every single Big Ten championship game, and they had to watch Michigan win it last year. You know that stuck with them. You know that stung. They're going to come out looking for payback all year. C.J. Stroud is going to be a lot better than what he was. I could see them putting it on Notre Dame. And I like Marcus Freeman, but don't stand in Ohio State's way this year.
Yeah, but I got to say, Michigan has also made college football history that this is the first time we ever had another Big Ten team as one of the top four ranked teams to be in the college football playoffs for the national championship.
Well, and how good does it feel for Jim Harbaugh, though? You know, a Michigan alum, and he's had to hear it. They've been calling for his head for a long time. I think it probably won't be long before they do again because this was a team built for this year. But you know it's personal for him. Like, he was a Michigan alum that played for Bo Schembechler. And to lose year in and year out to Ohio State, you can take all the money. And he wins a lot in the regular season, save for 2020 when I think they finished like 2-4. They win a lot. But to lose that game is personal for him. And I know that Michigan fans, their expectations, they still won't be happy with the fact that they, you know, pretty much got destroyed by Georgia in that semifinal. But that has to feel good for him. That really does. I felt good for him. You know, he seems by all indications to be a good guy. For him to go in there and beat Ohio State at the Big House, that was his moment. And his players deserve that too because they've had to hear it from their alumni base and from everybody. That was his moment in the sun right there. And it may not get better for him, but good for him.
Quite so, but coming up until Monday, September 5th, we got a huger hottest ticket matchup, and this should be our main event of week one of college football, and that is the Clemson Tigers versus the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Clemson has a lot to prove. I mean, they have a lot.
Even though they do have one of their best football players who's now been drafted to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that player was none other than Trevor Lawrence, a quarterback from Clemson, and he just got his team to win their first championship, but then got it again after Alabama had their revenge on them again.
Yeah, T-Law with those flowing locks could definitely be a star of a Head and Shoulders commercial. He may actually already be, but at any rate, DJ Uiagalelei has a lot to prove there. I mean, he was the heir apparent, and he didn't play that well last year. And he was in the system the year before. People said, you have to give him this year. Clemson has everything to prove to everybody because it's one thing to win in college when you have one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time playing for you. But now that he's gone, can you prove that you're still churning out talent? I like Dabo Swinney a lot. I think he's a great coach. But now this is on them to prove it. And I don't see any way Georgia Tech stays in that game very long because I think Clemson, they're another team that's going to be on a warpath through that ACC.
Yeah, even though by God knowing that the Chicago Bears, they will have a home game coming up until Fox September 11th on the day of Patriots Day that is coming soon. And they have a home game later on against the San Francisco 49ers, and the Indianapolis Colts have an away game heading to Houston, Texas to take on J.J. Watt's team, the Houston Texans.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, J.J. Watt's old team now. I wish the Bears could play them week one rather than the 49ers. But I will say, having been there week one, NFL's week one always falls in and around September 11th. Be there at Soldier Field, literally named after armed services, and could be one of the last times that Soldier Field hosts a game around then, if reports are to be believed. That's a very, very cool experience that they do in downtown Chicago for that. As far as what the Bears will do, rather not say. San Francisco's good, but I don't believe in Trey Lance. I've said that. I will go on record saying that. He has to show it to me. He has only played one game in about 2 years. I have to see it from him. And Justin Fields is a lot to prove, to be fair. But how about my quarterback, Justin Fields? I can say he's my quarterback this week. A lot of football players and their invited guests to a baseball game take batting practice. He hit a home run at a major league stadium the other day. That's my quarterback right there. He's not button for singles, but we need to rest him a little bit, not see him just taking cuts like that. But, yeah, should be good. And as far as Colts-Texans, I don't see any reason why the Colts wouldn't just crush Houston, quite frankly. I love Lovie Smith, but Colts, they have to get it done this year. They have to make a run this year.
Even so, with the other three baseball games that will be happening later on today, the Ole Miss Rebels are going to get ready to take on the University of Southern Mississippi for their first Super Regional game. Later from 10 to 10:30, 10 o'clock, we got the Oregon State Beavers getting ready to take on, well, my cousin Rachel Billicott's team, the Auburn Tigers that she supports.
War Eagle. Hey, that's their mantra down there. If a buddy goes to school down there, they love Auburn, and they hate Alabama.
But I know.
Yeah, it's a very, very passionate rivalry.
And the last one is we got the UConn Huskies taking on the ranked number two team, the Stanford Cardinal.
Stanford's always very, very good when it comes to baseball. At least usually the Pac-12 teams do well, as well as SEC. So we'll see how that one turns out.
Okay, we'll find out sooner or later to know who will be the top eight teams that will advance to the battle of the semifinals and for a shot at winning the Baseball College World Series Championship that is happening in Omaha, Nebraska.
You know, I'll say everybody that's been there says that even if you're not a huge fan of college baseball, Omaha is like crazy to be at during the College World Series. I'd like to go one year. And I know they built a new stadium out there a few years ago, and it looks very, very nice. But, I mean, as our buddy Mike Maz likes to say, we have the Taj Mahal of minor league baseball just 10-15 minute drive from our studio location here. So it's a more economically feasible option to do that.
Very much so. Very much so. I also caught, this is very random, but it's sports nonetheless. I caught a USFL game, and every time I watch a USFL game, the stands look so brim and so nothing.
It's rough. I feel terrible for those players because you know what's coming, which is that another startup league is inevitably at some point going to bite the dust. I hope I'm wrong, but so their logic was, even though they have teams that have a different city name with them, like they have like Philadelphia and Houston, they're playing in Birmingham, and the Birmingham team has a decent following, it appears, but nobody else comes to the games. It's really sad, and I don't know how Fox and NBC's viewership is doing, but it doesn't seem as though people are really clinging on to this. Rather, they're just waiting for training camp to start at the tail end of next month. So it's really sad. I hope those players get an opportunity. And yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that league lasts. Hope the Dwayne Johnson's new XFL, not Vince McMahon's anymore, hope that does well. But the track record isn't good with leagues outside of the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. And that goes without saying. You know, NFL reigns supreme.
Yeah.
You know, everyone loves their NFL teams,
But you know what it is, John? Like, the thing I thought about is the NFL is the king of pro football. I mean, and they always have been, you know, and they most likely always will be. But there's a saying ever, if you're going to take a shot at the king, you best not miss. And I say it because the XFL, and the first time around, Vince McMahon said, basically, we're going to be everything the NFL is not. He said that the USFL, when it was owned by Donald Trump, tried to take them on, and the AAF had a holding, and they said, we're going to give football back to the fans. And I think about, like, okay, so listen to that. When you say, oh, we're going to do this, do that, give football back to the fans, that's telling the NFL that you don't care about your fans, and then when you need them to promote your league, Roger Goodell is going to go, no, you told me I was bad at this. You told me that I didn't care, that my owners didn't care, so we're just going to go on. And that's I'm glad the USFL hasn't done that, and the NFL seems keen to help them a little bit. And I hope that Dwayne Johnson, who has a really good rapport, as we were actually doing commentary, the three of us, when he was on the field at the Super Bowl, it must have been very awkward for those players to stand there behind him. But I hope that he can build off a good relationship with the NFL, because I hate to say it, if you're going to last, you need to have a good relationship with the NFL and the NFL Players Union. The AAF did not have that, and that's why they didn't last. And that's maybe why the USFL could still do okay.
I agree. I definitely agree. So with that, everyone, we hope that you enjoyed another edition of Sports Chat. I think we're all in town next week, so you'll hear from us next week here on Sports Chat. For everyone, for my partners, Jacob Ratmiller, Matthew Kleinmigger, this is John Graham signing off. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon.